The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now, there was a great deal of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, that they had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
How beautiful that was with the gospel acclamation, with Deacon Michael holding up the book of the gospel. Not as any kind of performance or anything, but really for us, making that living act of faith that this is Jesus who is going to speak to us through his living word. And then to hear sung the words, "God has visited his people. God has visited his people." Not just in the time of the prophet in the first reading. Not just in the time of St. Paul, who was once Saul on the road to Damascus and had the encounter with Jesus, which was the hinge of his life, and moved him to traverse the world and encourage the people to live by faith. Not just in the time of Jesus, who came across the boat with his apostles just to be with them, but he wanted to be with the people. He wanted to feed the people. He wants to feed us so that we can live by faith. All we have to do is traverse the living word of God, and we can see Old Testament to the New Testament that there's a constant encouragement to live by faith. This weekend, this Sunday, the whole church is encouraged to live by faith, to lift up the elderly, to lift up our grandparents. Whether our grandparents have already gone to see our Lord, we believe that the church is the church triumphant, the church suffering, which is purgatory, and the church militant, which is us who are battling on a daily basis, because it's hard to live by faith. As Job says, it's a struggle. But we're constantly encouraged to live by faith. And so how beautiful it is we have this theme, "I am with you always," for this day. And Pope Francis, in his letter, if you haven't read it, you can get your bulletin on the way out, and it's in there. Thanks to Darby in our communication office and Angela, they put it in there, the whole letter. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And he's saying, "I'm one of you. I'm journeying with you." He said, I didn't ask to be called at, really at a time when most people are to be seniors, to come and to walk with the church towards eternal life. That's where we're all going. That's where God's pointing us to go. And he's encouraging us and the whole church to live by faith. And we have a responsibility as church to turn to the elderly, to our grandparents, and thank them for transmitting the faith and bringing us to come to know Jesus, and to help them understand that their mission continues. Their vocation, their call to love, and their call to give witness to the good news continues. So Pope Francis picked this wording here: I am with you always. And how do we live in a way that we really acknowledge fully that God is with us always? It's not just kind of a pretty sign to have on the side of the road as you enter either side of our parking lot. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We don't just put those up, just say, what are we going to put up this week? What do you think is good? No, I mean, that's an invitation to me that I got to look out every time I walk over here for daily mass or the different moments for the things we have to realize, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You're welcome here in this church. You're welcome here in my heart. I acknowledge your presence because I know you are with me always. Though I can't see you, but I know you touch me. And you touch me oftentimes through your living word. You touch me oftentimes, above all, through the Eucharist, where you come and you come into me because you love me. And for those of you who have not received your first Holy Communions, little ones, I know there's some maybe in the first roll saying, I'm waiting. You can make a spiritual communion, and God is not handcuffed or bound by his sacraments. He can give his grace to whomever he wants, whenever he wants, in whatever way he wants. Look at the first reading. The prophet. Just have faith. Live by faith. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You're welcome here in the temple of my heart. I am with you always. Live by faith. What a beautiful challenge for us in these times. Said it before, I'll say it again. Do I have a definition of faith? Catechism, Catholic Church, number 2609 is my favorite. Back over it again. Once a person is committed to conversion, I don't know everything, but I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to follow you like the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. I don't know everything. Think of that boy. He could have made a ton of money that day. I mean, I don't know about you. I spent time chaplaining at Braves Stadium, you know, and popcorn, peanuts. I mean, the boy's out there with 5 loaves and 2 fish and a bunch of hungry people. And it's amazing how our Lord turned to his apostles who had witnessed so many miracles. And the first one's Philip's like, I don't know, 200 some odd wages to make this happen. And then Andrew had a little faith to say, hey, but there's a boy over there. Supposedly tradition has it. I don't know. I don't know where I heard this once, but I like where I heard it, and I like the lowercase t tradition, so I just keep telling it. We'll find out in heaven. But supposedly the little boy was Mark. St. Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. Supposedly. Why? I mean, Andrew's there. Andrew was the brother of Peter. Mark wrote the gospel for Peter, accompanied Peter afterwards. Andrew said, hey, there's a boy over there, right? He's from our town. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. We kind of know him, you know? We fish with him and all that stuff. Let me get that boy over here. He could have made a ton of money. But he made an act of faith. He says, I've been watching this Jesus from afar. I'm just a little boy, but I want to get close to him. So once a heart is committed to conversion, it learns to pray in faith. It learns to pray in faith. Do I pray in faith every day? Do I live by faith every day? Do I entrust myself to the living word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ every day? Is my faith a lamp for my feet every day to guide my steps? Once a heart is committed to conversion, it learns to pray in faith. Faith, my brothers and sisters in Christ, from the same definition, faith is a filial, which is a son-like or daughter-like adherence, holding on to God beyond what we feel or understand. You feed him, Philip. You feed him, Andrew. How? There's a boy. Where is the mystery in the bread and the wine? If he can conquer death and offer eternal life, if God can become man in the womb of his mother Mary through her fiat and can be born and can walk with us and can work the miracles in those times, create the healing in those times in the first apostles, why can he not do it in us if we live by faith? Jesus, so many times in the scriptures, even in his hometown, he says, because of the lack of faith, he could not do anything. We are invited by our beloved Lord to live by faith. What a gift our faith is. What a gift it is to know Jesus, to encounter Jesus, to let the Holy Spirit move us every day. And I thank that example that I've witnessed in the seniors, the elderly, my own grandparents in my life. I'm just going to share with you four examples. It's not four stories. It's going to make it an hour homily. But four examples of four people who impacted me. Just like Father Michael said coming in, he's like, hey, that person's still altering, right? Or still ushering, right? Sit down with us, priests. If you know Father Michael, say hello after Mass. Sit down. Sit down. Ask us who helped us on our journey, okay? Like the elderly woman who came up to me when I was thinking about being a priest, and I was really afraid of it, and I was kind of afraid, and I was afraid of leaving the New York City and my job and all that stuff. And she came up to me in the parking lot after Mass with my mom there and said, Richard, I want to let you know something. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because if you go be a priest, you will always have a mother, and Mary will, you have a woman in your life, and that woman is Mary, the mother of God, along with your mother. Woman of faith, living by faith, moved by faith, gave me a little in that moment where I felt like I don't think I can do it. How about Helen Kopchak? Everybody's like, Helen Kopchak, who's she? Our Lord knows who she is, and for sure she's a saint in heaven. When I was a teenager, when I was about 13 years old, my mom came up to me and my brother. We lived in a nice, beautiful, thanks be to God, in the hard work of my father, golf course neighborhood in Atlanta, Georgia, where they had the AJGA golf tournament. I could go to the river and go on the rope swing. We lived on a lake. I could go boating and fishing and all that stuff. Sometimes I was late to school because I did a lot of fishing. I could go to the pool. I could play golf. I could play tennis. One day my mom came up and said, you're going to go down to Atlanta. You're going to help this elderly person move from Atlanta up closer to our parish because we're adopting her. Now, naturally, there was resistance in my heart. I didn't want to go because I'm thinking about all the stuff that I want to do, but my mom moved me in that way. I went down there with my brother, and we helped move the lamps and everything, and we move up, and we move into this new housing for this woman of God who was an orphan her whole life. She was missing one eye. And ever since I can remember, even in that moment, she had a walker and oxygen. But Helen had a glitter in her eye and a love for our Lord and was always sitting there in the front pew. Right in the front pew. As a teenager, she just impacted me with that glitter and look. And every time I came home, even from the army or from the business world, or right before I went in the seminary, Helen would come up to me and she'd do this after Mass. And like, so I'd come over and say hello to her, and she'd have her hand all crumpled up, and she'd always hand me a crumpled up $1 bill. Go get you something. That woman loved. She was such a witness and impacted me so much that when I came back as a young adult, I was like, Mom, Dad, I'm going to go see Helen. It's awesome. Now, see, Helen only had one request. Her request, when she passed, she wanted to pass in one of the Catholic hospitals in Atlanta, Georgia. So she was in and out of the hospital. My mom went there a lot of times to take her Holy Communion, to be there for her and all that. In and out of the hospital. Well, it happened the last time she ended up in a hospital, which wasn't a Catholic hospital. But God had a different plan for her, and she knew it because she was a woman of God who lived by faith. And so the doctors and the nurses who weren't Catholic came up and said, Helen, what is your last request? What would you like to do? She goes, let me teach you the rosary. She prayed the rosary with him. That's all she wanted to do, was turn to Mother Mary in that moment. And so she was a witness, living by faith all the way to that final moment. And that's what the doctors and nurses said at that moment after she passed. My grandfather, the honor to drive him to Mass and to have him come in with his walker and his oxygen and to sit in that front row and his commitment to be there. He went through World War II. He went through difficult times, and he knew that our Lord was with him always, and he wanted to go visit our Lord. That witness, my grandmother, my dad's mom who passed away, I witnessed as a teenager in middle school, tragedy after tragedy. My godfather, my uncle, her son, killed by a drunk driver. The boy was 18 years old. And my grandmother went to the court and said, do not put him in jail. She told us, family, we are Sutters. We forgive. We do not sue. She was a woman of faith. She lived by faith. How about my Aunt Loretta, who the bishop who did her funeral in Charleston said she was a saint? You see, she had 6 children. But after the children got raised up old enough, they were in elementary school and middle school, her husband upped and left. She was left alone to raise all 6 of those children, raise them through middle school, high school, into college, and into their careers. After they were all on their way, her husband came back, knocked on the door, riddled with cancer. She welcomed him in and loved him and served him to his dying breath. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are surrounded by men and women, boys and girls who live by faith. The encouragement in this day is to see that, to acknowledge that, to build each other up in that. And so that when we come each weekend to worship this God who is always with us, we lift each other up. We lift each other up so that we may be living witnesses of this faith in our times for the greater glory of God. Amen.